want to speak today about something close to my heart. But before I do, as some of you know, I have a son named David. My son named David he's 36 years old. He's autistic, but you'd never know it. I mean, he's just the most charming guy in the world. I mean, he's smarter than I am. He's got more of a personality than I do. And in the Poconos, where we live, I'm just known as Dave's dad. Everybody knows Dave. I'm just Dave's dad. You're just Dave's dad. That's it. But he always speaks these profound things sometimes. When I don't want to kill him, he speaks these profound things sometimes. And one time we were walking on the beach a while ago, and we were down the shore, Jersey Shore. We were collecting shells, and we're beach people, so we have a million shells all over the house. Like, we need more shells. So we're down the shore, and we're picking shells. I noticed that he's picking up all the broken shells, ones that are in half, the little pieces. I'm picking all the nice big ones, the really beautiful ones. He's picking all the little broken ones. I said, Dave, what are you doing? Come here. He says, what? I said, Dave, why don't you pick the good shells? He said, no, I'm picking these. He said, why are you picking the shells? And he goes, hey, Dad, God loves the broken shells. And that so spoke to me, that God loves the broken shells. And guess what? We're all broken. And we need him, and he's putting us back together. And he loves us. In our brokenness, in our trials, in the crazy things we go through, he loves us. None of us are perfect. None of us have it together. None of us, we're all still growing and moving. But sometimes, even in our brokenness of things we've been through, he loves the broken shells. We're a whole bunch of broken shells that he puts back together, and he loves, praise God. And I got so taken by that. But then again, a few days later, we're walking down by the lake where we live, and Dave's always going up to everybody and asking, when's your birthday? How are you? You have a beautiful nose, you know, all that kind of stuff, right? Going to get me beat up one day. I'm just waiting for that. He's going to get me beat up. But this one lady, older woman's walking by, and Dave goes to her, hi, so when's your birthday? And she goes, you know, April, whatever, you know. And he goes, oh, that's great. So she goes, to David, when's your birthday? And he goes, August 1st. So she goes, oh, I love the zodiac signs. Are you a Leo? And Dave goes, no, I'm David. He's going to get me killed one of these days. One day when Jesus was washing the feet of the apostles, Peter had some questions about what Jesus was doing. He had some questions about why washing feet, what was all this? And Jesus says something so profound to him that I think that has marked my life for so many years. And Jesus said to Peter in John 13, verse 7, he says, what I am doing now, Peter, you don't understand. But you'll know after this. And I just stood back and said, wow, God, how profound. That you know what Jesus sometimes even says to us, like, you're not gonna know what I'm doing right now. You're not gonna understand everything that I'm doing right now. You may not even accept everything that I'm doing now, but there'll be a time where you will understand. There'll be a time when it's my time for you, God's choice, when it's my time for you, you will understand what I'm doing. And sometimes we don't know what he's doing. Sometimes we don't understand his ways sometimes. He reveals certain things to us, absolutely. But sometimes there's a lot of questions we ask, maybe sometimes the why question or the how come question or all these questions. And God says, you just right now are gonna have to trust me because I know what I'm doing. I'm God, I know what I'm doing. Yeah, but God, how about trust me right now? I've got a plan and purpose. You may not understand it. And it may seem like I'm a mean God and I'm a hard God, but I'm not. I just want you to have patience. I'm doing something. Trust me. Can you trust me? Can you trust me? Can you trust me with all your heart? I remember a while ago, I was in a stuck situation. I was in between two worlds. I was in between my past and my future. I was in between what was and what would possibly be. I was in between the yesterdays and tomorrows of my life, and I got stuck. You know, one season in my life was certainly over, and I wasn't sure about the next season that was going on, and I wasn't sure about what's happening, and I got stuck. I know I couldn't go back into the season that passed, and I wasn't sure where God was leading me, but I was stuck kind of like in the middle. Ever get that? Where you're kind of leaving one period of your life, one season of your life, you're not sure about what God's taking you, so you're kind of in the middle there. And you're kind of a little bit confused, kind of like, okay, God, what's going on? What's the next step, God? I know I can't go back, Lord God. But Father, what's the next thing? And it was almost like I would read in Joshua chapter 3. If you have your Bibles, turn there. In Joshua chapter 3, right in verse 3, my heart was just speaking about this same thing. And in Joshua chapter 3, the word of God says, when they were about to cross the Jordan River, the Lord said, when you see the ark of the covenant of the Lord your God. Now, this is when they're about to cross the Jordan River, right? When you see the ark of the covenant of your Lord God and the priests and Levites bearing it, then you shall set out from your place and go after it. And there shall be a space between you and it and 2,000 cubits by measure. Do not come near it, that you may know the way which you must go, for you have not passed this way before. And Joshua said to the people, sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. And that so spoke to me that where I was in that mental situation, I had no alternative. I needed to follow God through because I didn't know what I was doing. I could make my decisions and do this, but I wanted God. And the word of God says, I wanted to follow him. I wanted to follow him because I didn't know which way to go, just like Joshua. Wherever in that situation, you're in a place of your life where you're not sure which way to go. You're not sure, you know that one season is over, but you're not sure the way to go now. And so the word of God says, well, follow the ark. In other words, God is saying, well, just follow me through right now. I'll take you through, just follow me through right now. And I love that because it says you haven't passed this way before. And a lot of times in our situations, we haven't passed this way before. A lot of things we go through, it's like a first time thing. We're not sure of this. We don't have a lot of experience with this. And the word of God says, well, just follow me through because I know you haven't been this way before. So just follow me through. Seek me, desire me. Let me lead you through this tough time that you're in, praise God. And I know that in that time, God does work in seasons. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 1 says, everything has a season. And there's a time for every purpose. And I love that. And he's made everything beautiful in its time. In its time. In its time. And I had to receive that. And maybe some of us had to receive it too, that I had to believe in my middle time, in my time where I didn't know where it was going on, in my stuck time, I had to believe that, Lord, everything was beautiful in its time. What I had was beautiful, but I gotta trust what you're bringing me to is also will be beautiful, Lord God. I don't know how, Lord God. Because there's so many things going on, Lord God. But you are God, and I'm not gonna question how you do things, Lord God. I had to believe that in my heart, that everything is beautiful in its time, or else I wasn't gonna make it. See, God works in different seasons of our life. Same with here, different seasons here. Remember when you were kids and riding tricycles? That was a season in your life. Now a lot of people here are college students or older adults. Maybe some adults here remember the child-rearing years and now you're a little bit older and I heard people are older. I wouldn't know about that, you know, but I heard people get old. But anyway, and there's a certain period of time that just kind of passes in our life, those seasons. The word of God says about the Lord says in Daniel chapter 2, verse 21, he changes the times and the seasons. The seasons that you go through are God's call. It's God's call. And you got to trust that the season that you're in right now, whatever it may be, Lord, that I'm gonna trust it's your call right now, Lord God, and I gotta go with that, Lord God. And maybe we wish things were different, maybe we wish those things were not where they are right now, but it's God's call, we've gotta trust him right now. Psalm 31, verse 15 says, David says, my times are in your hand. I'm not alone, my times are in your hand, Lord God. Leviticus 26, 4 says, I will give you rain in its season, in its season. I love that story of Israel, and they were in Egypt, and they were crying out, and God was gonna deliver them to Moses. Remember that story in Genesis? Here is Israel, and they're in Egypt, and in the beginning of their time in Egypt, they were doing good. They weren't in bondage yet. They were doing good. The word of God said they were assimilated in Egypt. They were doing good. The word of God in Genesis said they were fruitful. They increased abundantly. They grew mightily. They multiplied. Good things were happening. And it was a good season. But that as good as it was, that season was never meant to be forever. Because God had plans for his people to be in Canaan, in the promised land. That was his plan. And he blessed them for a while in that Egypt part, but it was never meant to last forever. As good as it was, as wonderful as it was, there was a time for change coming. And we know the rest of the story. There was a new Pharaoh came in Egypt and then began a time of bondage, 400 years of bondage. And the people cried out to be free. And we know the story, Moses delivered them and they cried out. But God was doing something to get them to where he wanted them to be. And sometimes God will shake things up to move us on a little bit because we tend to get stuck. We tend to kind of just go there. I was on vacation a couple weeks ago, and I went to the beach, and I love laying on a beach, and I was laying on a beach, and I was just so tired from everything, and I was sitting on a beach, and I was getting burnt, and I could hear my skin sizzle because I was getting so burnt, but I couldn't move. I was so comfortable, and I was talking to myself, saying, Angelo, you have to move. You got to roll over at least, Angelo. You got to do something. I was so comfortable, and sometimes we get so comfortable, we get so caught that we don't move. So here's God and answering their prayer to deliver them from bondage, and he does that, and he sends Moses, and we know Moses, right? He delivered them, and it was wonderful, delivered by Moses. But before they got to Canaan land, they were in the wilderness. So between Egypt, where they were, and the promised land, here they were in the wilderness. That kind of that in-between situation where I know where I'm coming from, I'm not sure where I'm going, so here I am. How do we function in that time? Do we still trust God? Because here you got God's people, they started to question God. God, why'd you bring us out here? Especially when they saw the Egyptians coming after them. God, why'd you bring us out here? What are you doing? They were complaining about God. They complained about water. They complained about food. They complained about each other. They complained about everything. And sometimes the reason for that wilderness is God is trying to shape a people. God is trying to shape your hearts. See, there's a blessing in the wilderness. There's a blessing in that time between leaving one season before you enter another one. God is trying to shape you a little bit. God's trying to work something a little bit deeper in you that only the wilderness can do. Oh, I remember so many times saying to God, God, I hate being in the wilderness. I hate it. And I've learned a long time ago to say, Lord, thank you for the wilderness, Lord God. If I wasn't in there, God, it wouldn't be where I am in whatever I am, Lord God. See, how do you do in the wilderness? How do you do when things aren't going right? How do you do when we kind of get hungry and get thirsty? And how do we do? Do we start get mad at God? God, why'd you bring me in this place, God? We start doubting God. God, did I miss you? God, you're mad at me, God? Or God, I'm mad at you? I've always not ever accepted that, no matter what the situation, how somebody could be mad at God. Now, that may be you, I'm not judging you, but I've always, when you realize, listen, things can get pretty bad, I understand that. But when you really know him, how could you possibly get mad at him? You could not like some things, and that's okay. But I don't know if I get mad at you, Lord God. I don't know about that. So they had unbelief and disobedience, and they responded. And sometimes we may do the same thing sometimes, not realizing that, wait a minute, God is bringing us to something. He truly is bringing us to something. You talk about Abraham. Remember Abraham? God asked Abraham to leave his country. Well, when he left his country, he had to leave his past behind. But also, remember when he had to sacrifice Isaac? Remember that, the sacrifice of Mount Moriah? When he was about to sacrifice Isaac, that was his future. He also had to let go of his future. So he let go of his past. He let go of his future. But in that letting go, he came to know God like never before. He came to know God as provider. He came to know God as covenant keeper. He came to know God as a faithful one. He came to know God as his father. Wow. Wow. So sometimes when God asks us to maybe let go of some of our past or maybe let go of our future and really, really trust him to lead us in our future, that's where we get to know him and trust him. Because sometimes the only thing we can do is trust him and seek him and know him. And I found that a long time ago. That's enough for me, praise God. I just want him. That's enough, oh God. I don't care what I do in the future, God. As long as I have you, God, that's all that matters, Lord God. It's all that matters. And he's never going to let you go. He's never going to let you go. See, here they come in that wilderness. I found out when you're in the wilderness, what dries up is up to you. See, either when you're in that wilderness, either your faith is going to dry up or your past is going to dry up. And sometimes we have a choice. I want my past to dry up, Lord God. I love this story in 2 Kings chapter 7. Let's read it. Turn in your Bible. 2 Kings chapter 7. And I'm not going to spend a lot of time here, but do you remember the story about the four lepers outside the gates of Samaria? Do you remember that? Anybody remember that? Am I the only one? No, of course we remember that. Of course we remember that. I just want to read 2 Kings chapter 7, verse 3 to 9. And then I want to show you something that God just so put on my heart. In 2 Kings chapter 7, right in verse 3, 2 Kings 7, verse 3. And I'm reading out of the New King James. It says, "Now there were four leprous men at the entrance of the gate, and they said to one another, 'Why are we sitting here until we die? If we say, we'll enter the city, the famine is in the city, and we shall die there. And if we sit here, we'll die also. Now therefore, come and let us surrender to the army of the Syrians. If they keep us alive, we shall live. And if they kill us, we shall only die.' And then one rose at midnight, twilight, to go to the camp of the Syrians. And when they had come to the outskirts of the Syrian camp, to their surprise, no one was there. For the Lord had caused," I love that, "the Lord had caused the army of the Syrians to hear the noise of the chariots and the noise of the horses, the noise of a great army. So they said to one another, 'Look, the king of Israel has hired against the kings of the Hittites and the kings of the Egyptians to attack us.' And therefore they arose and fled at twilight and left their camp intact, their tents, their horses, their donkeys, and they fled for their lives. And when these lepers came to the outskirts of the camp, they went into one tent and ate and drank and carried it from silver and gold and clothing and went and hid them. And then they came back and entered into the tent and carried some from there also and went in and hid it." But verse 9, "And they said to one another, 'Hold on a second, we're not doing right this day. This day is a day of good news and we remain silent. If we wait until morning light, some punishment will come upon us. Now therefore, come, let us go tell the king's household.'" And I love that story because it so talks about taking a chance on that new season that God wants to do. Here you got these guys. Now listen, they were four lepers and they were in a bad spot to begin with. One, they were lepers. That's not a good thing, okay? They were lepers. Two, they were thrown out of the city. They were on the outskirts of the camp. They didn't even want them in the city. That's not a good place, right? The third thing, it was a time of famine. They were starving. That's not a good place to be in either, right? The fourth thing, they were in war. They were fighting a war against the Syrians. That's not a good place. Not only that, they were losing the war. That's not a good place. And the hardest thing too is the guys who were with them were no better off than who they were. They were all with lepers. No one was better off. And here they are outside the city. And I love these four guys. You get the first guy that says, "Why are we sitting here till we die?" Boom, I love that. Profound revelation. Why are we sitting here? Why are we just hanging out? We're dying. We're going to die one way or another. Why are we just sitting here? And I love that guy who was bold enough just to speak up. And sometimes maybe do we ask ourselves that question too? Why am I sitting here? Not in here. I mean, talking rhetorically, okay? Why am I sitting in this place that I'm in, this where I am spiritually, where I am emotionally, where I am in a lot of ways? Is this where I want to be? Why am I sitting here? And so the second guy, the second leper comes and says, I like this guy too. He says, "Well, if we sit here, we're going to die." The eternal optimist, right? If we sit here, we're going to die. In other words, you're confirming the first guy. Listen, if we just keep sitting here, there's no alternative. We're going to die. There's nothing to do. We're going down. The third guy, because some people get stuck. I think this guy was stuck. Some people get stuck and we are afraid to enter a new season because we kind of get immobilized by fear. We're not sure what's going to happen. We get immobilized by all the what ifs, sometimes that indecision. Ever get to a place where you're just having such a hard time making a decision? I hate that. You're going back and forth and you don't know what to do. And the truth, indecision is torment. It really is. And so some people were giving up on themselves. And so this guy maybe was, if we're going to die, might as well sit here. But you got the third guy who says, listen, if we go back in the city, there's famine there, we're going to die too. And I love that because he's saying kind of like, you can't go back. You can't go back. And sometimes we think we can. Sometimes when we're in trouble, sometimes when we're in a lot of pain, sometimes when things aren't going right, sometimes we tend to look back at how good it was. I got news for you, it wasn't that good. We tend to remember the good and better things, but bottom line is sometimes we forget about the pain. Forget about the pain and the sorrow. Forget about that. I love this guy because he was saying, if we go back in the city, we'll die. In other words, saying, there's nothing back there for me. I found out that as blessed as I have been in my life, God is not back there in my past. God is over here. He's in the present and he's going future. There's nothing, listen to me, there's nothing back there for you. Listen to me. For maybe some of you who are thinking about, well, I could always go back to doing this or back to that. No, you can't. God is forward. And I know it's scary. I know it's hard. I understand that. But God is forward. Because why? He's opened up a new season for you. I love the Song of Solomon, chapter 2, verse 11. It says, winter is past and the rain is over and gone. And that's so true. The winter's past and rain is over and gone. But I love this fourth leper. I love the fourth guy. Talk about an optimist. Talk about the radical. There's always got to be a radical in the group, right? There's always got to be a guy that shakes things up a little, right? He got the fourth guy. He said, listen, we got to go forward. We got to go surrender to the Syrian army. Listen, if they kill us, guess what? We're going to die. Profound revelation. But, there's a slight chance. There's a little ray of hope that we may live. We may live. And sometimes that little ray of hope is all that we need. And God is saying, I know everything around you is dying, but follow me. Why? I'm going to show you how to live, praise God. I'm going to show you something different. Trust me, praise God. I'm working out something for you. And they were going to go surrender themselves to the Syrian army. So here they go. They surrender themselves. And this guy had the hope of a new season. He was willing to embrace the possibility of God doing something wonderful and new in their lives. See, he had to let go of all the other options, because if he didn't, they were just going to be an extension of the old season in his life. They weren't held back by other people's expectations. Oh, watch out for that. Man, when I was young, I was so foolish. I always wanted to be the people that other people expected me to be. And when I did that, I lost sight of who God wanted me to be. The only expectation you got to fill is God's, praise God, amen? God's expectation of you, praise God. That's what you focus on. Because if you don't, you'll become the person that other people expect you to be. And you'll lose sight of who God made you to be. You'll lose sight of who you are. You'll lose sight of your individuality. You'll lose sight of the special things God put on your heart. You'll lose sight of that. And don't lose sight of that. Don't lose sight of it. I heard this great quote. Tomorrow comes regardless of what we do, but our future comes because of what we do. And that is so true. So here you go. And sometimes, listen, God opens doors for us, just like this fourth leper who's taking a chance to go forward. God will open up some doors into a new season, and you got to trust him to go forward. But we have part in it. He's going to ask you, okay, take a step forward. Trust me. Just like these lepers, just take a step forward and trust me. Just like he told Joshua, march around seven times, Joshua. I'm going to do a miracle. You march, Joshua. And sometimes he asks us to get up and take that step forward. Sometimes he says, listen, Joshua, put your foot in the Jordan and then I'll open up the Jordan River. Joshua, put your foot in first. And for a lot of us here, maybe you're just waiting for God to do a good thing and God will do that and he's done it in the past. But maybe what he's saying to you now is, listen, trust me, but I want you to take that step forward. I want you to put your foot in the Jordan, man in the synagogue. I want you to stretch out your hand so Jesus can heal that hand. Stretch out your hand, and maybe God is asking some of us here, just stretch out a little bit. Just get out of your normal thing. Just stretch out a little bit and come to me. The word of God says, Abraham, leave your country. Get out and leave your country. Peter, get out of the boat. Get out of the boat, Peter. Get out of the boat. March seven times. Moses, raise up your staff and pray for that Red Sea. Gideon, break those pitchers so the light can come through. David, sling that stone. And sometimes God asks us, do you trust me? Then take that step. Then take that step. See, sometimes he's not going to give us all the ducks in a row. Sometimes we've got to move by faith. By faith in a faithful God who'll never let us down. Faith in a faithful God who'll always, always be there. And so we know the rest of the story. They decide, the four of them together, to go forward. And they get together and they march through the desert. Now, four lepers, and they're not jogging with, you know, Reeboks on, you know, and Under Armour shirts on. They're not doing that. They're dragging themselves. They're dragging and they're holding on to each other. And when you walk in sand, that doesn't make a sound, does it? If it does, I've been going to the beach for the wrong reasons. When you walk in sand, it doesn't make sound like, So the Lord said, what God did, and we just read it, the Lord caused. See, when they took that step of faith and trust in God, the Lord caused the sound of their feet to sound like an army. I don't know about you, but that's a miracle. I mean, like, whoa, whoa. I mean, when you take a step of faith, what God won't do, what God won't do is sometimes we limit God. Sometimes we just try to figure out God. No, don't try to figure him out. Trust him and obey him, praise God, and let him follow you through, praise God. I can't figure out myself. How am I going to figure him out? I can't figure out nothing. But trust him. Imagine that. They come, they walk in, and they hear the Assyrians hear the sound of the like an army. And they said, oh, they hired an army against us. Let's get out of here. And they ran. They ran away. They left the food. They left this. They left that. They left everything. So here come the four lepers over the hill. Boom. And they're ready to die. If they kill us, we're going to die. That's it. They come over the hill and they go, we're here. And they're waiting for arrows. You know, no arrows. Hey, Syrian army, here we are. We're here. And one guy says, I smell lasagna. One guy says, I smell pork and beans. One guy says, I smell Thai food, but we're not going there. We're just going to stay in the Thai food. And they're amazed that the tents are filled with food and clothes and jewelry and all this stuff. And so here they are. They're trying on the clothes. They're eating. They got one turkey leg and another turkey leg. They're eating like that. And they're getting stuffed. Their bellies are out to here. And they're trying on all these clothes. They're trying on all the rings. And they're doing all this great stuff. And all of a sudden, one of them just says, wait a second. We're blessed in this new season that God gave us. But hold on a second. Hold on. One second, something ain't right. Something is not right. Here we are, they say, and we're filling our bellies up and we're doing all that, and there's a starving city over there. We got to go back and tell the king. See, sometimes why it's so important for you to leave the past season and embrace the new season that God is bringing you to, guess what? It's not just for you. It's for the people who'll be blessed by the new season God is putting you in. There are people to be blessed by how God blesses you, how God takes care of you, how God works in your life. It's never just about us. It's about that new season, that the people that will be blessed by what God puts in you, the testimony you have, the faith that you have. And I know we all go through hell. I understand that. We all go through a lot of things, but I found out that not only what God will do for you, it's what he does in you, so he can work with you to do great things through you. And it's so, so true. So I'm going to ask you, as I begin to close, how do we face that new season? How do we leave that old season? I've entitled my message, and sometimes you have to say goodbye. And it all depends on what you say goodbye to. We need to say goodbye to our past. We need to say goodbye to some things that would prohibit us from going on with God. We need to say goodbye to some things. How do we face this new season? I just want to share a couple of things and then we'll pray today. One, stop wishing you were someplace else. Don't get caught up in that. You're right where God has you. Trust him. And it may be a hard place. Yeah, I know. Maybe a painful place. Oh, yeah. Yeah, maybe you're dying to get out because it's so painful. Yeah, I understand that. Been there. But stop wishing you were someplace else or somebody else. Why? And appreciate where you are now. Even if it's a wilderness, appreciate it. Because why? You're not alone. God is working in you. God is working in you. You're not alone. I said that before we started today's sermon. You're not alone. See, stop wishing you were someplace else. He'll always be with you. His Holy Spirit is with you. In Isaiah 43, verse 1, the Word of God says, you are mine. Do you understand that? That you were bought with a price. You're a purchased possession. That he's not going to let you go. Stay in his presence. When you're leaving that old season, maybe you're in that in-between time and you're not sure of that new season that he is going to bring you to, you're not alone. He's with you. And that makes all the difference in the world. You don't have to be afraid. You don't have to be sad. You don't have to be worried. You don't have to be looking towards the past for any kind of things, how they were fulfillment. No. Lord, I've got you, my Lord Jesus. And you're with me, God. If I make my bed in hell, you're there, Lord God. If I'm in heaven, you're there with me, Lord God. You got to stay in his presence, my people. Listen to me. You got to take that time, no matter what you're going through, no matter what the situation may be. You've got to be in his presence and acknowledge that and seek his presence, because his presence is always with you. In my life, time in his presence has made all the difference in my life. From one crisis to this crisis to that crisis to this crisis, even things that I've done, even my mistakes and my sin and my failures, in his presence, that's where things change. In his presence, there's a joy, there's a peace. In his presence, there's a direction of life. So if we're going to enter that new season, go knowing that he's with you. He's not mad at you. He's not disappointed at you. He loves you. He died for you. Get that in your head. And I say that respectfully. Get that in your head. And stop thinking he's mad at you or you're distant. Listen, no one else could be around you, but he's with you. He's with you. When I go on vacation, I go alone and I spend a few weeks alone. And some people say, "Aren't you is it hard for you to just be alone?" I'm not alone. My life is one big conversation with the Holy Spirit. I'm not alone. Are you kidding me? Alone. I wish you'd leave me alone sometimes so I could be, but we're alone. So first thing is, know that he's with you. If you're gonna go into that new season of your life, understand this. He promises to complete what he started in you. He promises to complete what he started in you. Philippians chapter 1. Oh, you know the scripture. Philippians chapter 1, verse 6, the Word of God says, being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. Trust that. He's not done with you. He's not done with you. He's working in you right now, praise God. So he's going to complete it. He's not going to leave you half hanging. He's going to complete it with you. In that new season, watch what he does. Oh, my Lord. Watch what he does in those new things he's bringing your way. Jeremiah 29, verse 11. You know this scripture too. Jeremiah 29, 11, the Word of God says, for I know the thoughts I think toward you, says the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not evil, to give you what? A future and a hope. You have a future and hope. Don't go by how you feel. Don't go by how you feel. Feelings change. Feelings are subject to change. One day up, one day down, blah, blah, blah. Who does what? Don't go by how you feel. Go by God's word. Submit how you feel to God's word. God, I feel this, I feel that, but I submit it to you, Lord God. I'm going to choose to believe your word, go by your word, Lord God, stand on your word, Lord God, and that's all I need to know. Feel our feelings, but don't let them guide you, especially in that. So go in a new season knowing that he's completing what he started in you, and you're going to be okay. Listen to me, you're going to be okay. The third one, this is so important. When we go into the new season, anticipate victory and success, not defeat and failure. Because usually what you anticipate, you get. Remember when Israel was going to cross over with Moses, the Jordan, for the first time? They sent out the spies, and the spies came back and says, we can't cross over. Why? We're like grasshoppers in their sight. Who told you we're grasshoppers? See, they thought they were going to get squashed. They didn't go over. Why? Their attitude was so wrong because they didn't trust God. See, sometimes the battles we're in are won far ahead of the physical battle. Every battle we face is won here first or lost here first. Remember David when he attacked Goliath? He didn't anticipate failure. He anticipated, I'm chopping the head off, man. You're going down. What do you anticipate? What do you anticipate? Anticipate faith. Anticipate God doing great and good things, praise God. Even through hard times, absolutely. But anticipate the good things God's gonna do. And sometimes, listen, I know it's so important, but have you stopped believing what God can do? Have you stopped believing what God can do? Have you gotten so natural? Have you gotten so worldly? Have you gotten so fleshly? Have you stopped believing what God can do? My Lord, my Lord. Never limit or underestimate the God that we have. The fourth thing when we enter this new season, appreciate your past. Listen, appreciate the things of value, the good things, the lessons. Some people appreciate things, but a lot of our past, you gotta set fire to it. You gotta set fire to a lot of things in your past, the things that would prohibit you from going forward. You gotta set fire to unforgiveness and bitterness and grudges. You gotta set fire to the betrayals, even your own failures and regrets. You gotta set fire to guilt and shame and the wounds that people give us. You gotta set fire to the could-haves and should-haves and would-haves that get in the way of what God wants to do. Now, let go of the, I could have done this, I should, let that go. Set fire to that stuff. We all have that. Set fire to it, that it doesn't come up in a new season that God is bringing you to. Leave behind what would rob you of God's intention for you. Sometimes you gotta just leave those things behind, and you gotta know the treasure from the baggage. Oh, keep the treasure with you. Let the baggage go. Let it go. Let it go. Sometimes you get sometimes you have to let go of some people and some places and things. Not everybody, no. The ones that would hinder God's work in you. Appreciate your past. Deal with some things you need to deal with, but set fire to half of it. And don't let it stop you. And just two more. Go into your season, your new season, with all your heart. No holding back. Oh, stop that. Stop holding back. Stop going to things of God half-hearted. I long time ago that whatever I do, I gotta do with all my heart. And I was pretty much like that even in the world. I was a musician, and that's why I put myself through college and graduate school. And I remember I did it with all my heart and being quite successful at it. And even when we started our church in 1999, I had to do it with all my heart, all our heart. Don't go into the new season half-hearted. No. Then hold off until your heart is right. But give it with all your heart. The Word of God says, love God with what? All your heart, all your mind, all your soul, and it adds all your strength. Love it. And Colossians chapter 3 says, whatever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. Do it with all your heart, everything you got. Time is short. We know that time is short. What are you holding back for? What are you waiting for that new season to begin? What are you waiting for to do things with all your heart? You're waiting for people, you're waiting for something to go on. Don't wait. Time is so short. Where are you right now? Start where you are right now. Start, no matter what you have, what you don't have, start where you are right now and serve the Lord God, but do it with all your heart and don't hold back. See, if the devil can try to get you to hold back a little bit, pull back a little bit, oh, you pray, but maybe not with a zeal. Oh, you go to church, but maybe not all your heart. Oh, maybe you read the word, but maybe not all the zeal that you have. No. If Christ gave everything he had, how could we possibly hold back? Don't hold back. Love him and serve him. Whatever you find to do, do it with all your heart. And lastly, we'll close with this. If you're gonna go into that new season, the new season God has for you, then go in anticipating and looking forward to the season that will never end. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. And then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with him in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall always be with the Lord. Go into the new season of your life anticipating that new season that will never end. When we're home in glory, praise God. Imagine that. Imagine home in glory, home in heaven. No more tears, no more goodbyes, no more none of that. a new season with the Lord that will never, ever, ever end, praise God. What a beautiful thought. Give him praise for that. Give him praise for that. My Lord. My Lord. So my prayer for you today is that you're able to maybe pull something from today's sermon. Just pull something that maybe hits you. And my prayer is that when you walk away today, when you walk out today, what's that one thing that God wants you to walk away with? What's that one thing that God wants you to get in your heart as you walk out these doors and continue on your Sunday? What's God's plan for you? What does he want you to walk away with? Just take a second, think about it right now, because we're going to pray, and we're going to pray this right now. And I'm going to open up these altars as the music ministry prays. It's going to be so simple, this, and I want to pray for you as we open up these altars. The prayer is going to be, Lord, help me leave what I got to leave. Say goodbye to what I need to say goodbye to in my past, Lord God. I don't want to hinder my future, God, and help me embrace the joy and faith and peace of a new season in my life, God. And God, let us start now, God. Lord, help me to let go what I need to let go of, God. And we all need help with that. We tend to hold on to things that would so hinder us sometimes. And God says, it's okay to let go. It's okay to let it go. It's okay. I'll work it out, God says. It's okay. But you've got to let that go so I could bring you into something so new and beautiful, so wonderful. God says, I'll take care of those people. I'll take care of those things, yes. But I want you to walk forward. I want you to so walk forward, God says. So today, if that's you, as we open up these altars, my prayer is this, and I want your prayer to be, Lord, help me to let go of what I need to let go of. Help me to set fire to what I need to set fire to, Lord God. Help me to say goodbye to what I need to say goodbye to, Lord God. And Father, help me to walk forward in you, Lord God. Not knowing exactly, God, that's okay. But I am going to embrace the new season of life you're bringing me to, God. I'm going to embrace a new season of life for me, my marriage, my family, my school, my friends, God. God, I'm going forward. God, I'm going forward. And I may not know exactly what I'm going forward to, God, but as long as you're there, Lord God, as long as you're there, Lord God, that's all I need to know.